This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello, good morning. Hello, hello. Wednesday. It's a good day. Hesia, Wednesday is a great day.
It is the middle of the week, yes.
I was about to say because we have Gord. And then I look up and there is no Gord.
No.
And I know what you're saying.
Shade of it
and
all.
I know what you're saying. Well, he's hardly a set of car keys, Ben. How can you miss him? But you know, no. I become conditioned to such things.
Yeah. Yeah. At this rate, Gord is like the guy who only drunk texts you when he's horny.
Yeah.
There's no consistency.
Nice,
you know?
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. Sounds like we're a booty call for him.
He comes in and then we don't see him for weeks. For weeks.
It just, yeah. You know, if he feels it in the air. He texted me at 1:07 in the morning. So today, and he says, I'm still at it, Sia. Sadly, doesn't look like I'll be able to make tomorrow morning. Well, later today, technically. We'll have to make it next week, unless there's another day you guys would like me on. So
that's okay. Thoughts and prayers for Gord. Thoughts and prayers. So it's the Winter Olympics right now, as we all know.
Oh, boy. I still haven't watched a single minute of the Olympics.
The more you get it, like, okay, I'm getting into it because, firstly, the Proteas absolute toilet. They're dreadful. We'll get into that during the sport. But the Winter Olympics has got so many strange elements because it is basically, I've been saying this for quite some time, it's like a bad James Bond movie. So, you know, North Korea had this whole thing of unity. We're going to join with the South. Everyone's going to be happy.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about war. We're not going to, like, be horrible. So they've got this massive cheerleading squad that's currently there with them now.
What?
Now, these women do not miss a beat.
No.
Why?
Because they'll get shot.
Because they get beaten. Oh, yeah. So it is so hectic. I've been looking at it. So there's 229 of these women currently in Pyeongchang.
Stop. 229 all singing in unison.
Yes. Yeah, this is the beauty of this. So now the press have come under fire because they've been giving these people far too much, like, favorable press, saying, oh, look at this amazing cheerleading squad. Look how happy they are. Look how North Korea is adding so much to this games. Well, here's the real story. Basically, if you were to be in this cheerleading squad... I had a slide around this.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, I prep thoroughly for the show.
Yeah, you do.
So the Army of Beauties are what they go as.
Oh.
229 of them. So they get handpicked. They've got to be at least 5.3 feet tall. So you can't have any, like, really short people. They have to be of big eyes and round face.
Big eyes and round face.
I mean, we're obviously not talking any strange abnormalities here, but these are the general characteristics that get sort of chosen when you get handpicked. From as early as 8 years old, you can be sort of groomed for the Army of Beauty squad.
Okay.
So if you're watching the Winter Olympics and you're looking at it and going, oh, look at this cheerleading squad. They're so cool. They're loving it. No, this is North Korea propaganda 101.
Oh, yeah.
So what they do is they pick these women together and then they have this massive squad. They don't get paid. Perks are seen as, wait for it, bananas and cosmetics.
No. Okay, guys. Now it's getting serious.
Yeah, I'm not making any of this up. I've researched all of this thoroughly. So basically, if you're from North Korea and you do anything where a banana is in there, it's high fives all around. they see travel as an obvious perk, because where North Korea, not that they get invited so much, but when they go to the places where they need to have the chilies, they get to travel. But which is so cool for them.
With banana and cosmetics.
But, that's where they get the banana and cosmetics.
But do you mean they're traveling out of North Korea to other parts of the world, or within North Korea only?
Well, there is a few like home games, but yeah, I mean, the dream is to go out like now at the Winter Olympics. So they're in South Korea. But they are so heavily monitored. So they've got a team of minders. And we spoke about it the other day. There's that whole group punishment thing. So if they defect, then basically their family is in jeopardy of being sent to a prison camp or killed straight up. So the more I look at these people,
you know why I'm laughing.
These are some. Exactly. Why? But you can't make this stuff up. These are some of the best actresses you'll ever see. So the Academy Awards are coming up. Screw you. You've got nothing on these women because they are in unison. They don't bear like miss a beat.
No.
So basically, they're just all miserable, though.
Completely inside. During one time when they went to South Korea, 21 of them were sent to a prison camp because they told other people in North Korea about their trip to South Korea.
Okay.
How about that for just the most ridiculous thing you ever heard? So they went over there as a cheer group and they had the audacity to tell people of their travels.
Jeez,
prison
guys.
Camp straight up.
But can I just ask a serious question here for a second? When other countries of the world were speaking out against, apartheid, or when other countries of the world speak out about the treatment of women in Middle Eastern countries.
Good point.
How come we've never really paid attention to North Korea and the way that it treats its citizens? And why are we not concerned, or why do we not put them on that same list of the rest of the world is concerned about what's happening in your country?
It's a very interesting line of questioning, Mouse, because we haven't seen it that way. Because when you look at apartheid and how terrible that was, there was obvious oppression of one race group to another.
Yes.
North Korea, I don't know if we're falling for the propaganda or we just don't care too much. It is seen as like a collective way of life, even though there's also massive oppression, terrible human rights. It's not that different.
It really isn't. And there's such a strong element of brainwashing by North Korea's leaders on its people.
Completely.
That actually just hit me.
I mean,
really? It's like, why aren't we doing anything?
You have your people monitored when they leave the country. Are they prisoners? Why do they need to be monitored?
It's exactly what it is. So everywhere they go, there is a team of people who are handling them. These women can only go to the bathroom in a group. And I'm not talking, friends, we're in a club situation. They are monitored. So it'll be like, okay, that block of 10, you guys can go to the toilet now. And you have 3 minutes. That block of 10, you can wait. You're next.
Yeah.
You think about how Free Mandela was an international campaign. You think about the Live Aid concerts that go on for certain causes. Why aren't we doing anything, actually? Okay, now I feel bad.
Well, some of the women say that for months on end, they get shifted off to these dance halls where they have to practice. Now, again, like, do yourself a favor. Watch some of the Winter Olympics for a variety of reasons. Firstly, it's the Olympic Games. It's human excellence at its best, all that kind of stuff. But secondly, when you watch these women who get carted off to these venues as a sign of strength of North Korea, just watch how incredibly detailed they are, how incredibly precise they are, how everything works. That is months of literally being in prison to do this. And the women say, look, I mean, the instructors are fair, but they get very upset when you step out of line.
Sure, I don't want to know what very upset looks like.
Well, it's probably a horse whip. It's probably a horse whip in an ice bath, or they throw you to Siberia for a month because your left foot was 3 millimeters off.
The Army of Beauties.
Army of Beauties. That is essentially what the name is. Kim Jong-un's now wife was initially an Army of Beauties.
Oh, wow. Only the best for Kim.
So there's a 500-person North Korean delegation that's part of this, and most of them are there just to make sure no one defects, no one steps out of line, no one says anything.
Okay, so you've done your thorough research on the Army of Beauties, Ben, but have you actually seen them in any of the bits that you've been watching of the games?
I haven't seen it live, but if you go into YouTube, which of course is the source for everything in the world, you'll be able to see a variety of their performances. And it really is, it's quite something to behold. But the fact that, and of course this isn't racist, I'm just commenting on a certain group of people, they have been handpicked to all look sort of identical.
Yeah.
So when the camera pans over them,
oh,
it literally is. It's like Austin Powers. They're just like fembots waiting to attack. Because they do. I mean, it's, you know, like there's been some bad press around the iPhone 10 around how in Asia, you know, there's like sisters opening each other's phones and face recognition.
Oh.
It's like another. It's like another level.
That yet.
Haven't you?
No.
You know, like there's no touch finger.
Yes. So it's basically because of their similar features. Yep. It's the shape of the eyes.
Well, there's no doubt about it. They do have similar features. It's just a bit of a game changer. So obviously Apple, and people want to throw shade at Apple. But there's another bit of a controversy, the Winter Olympics, and it's got to do around figure skating. Now, I know what you're saying, like I don't really care about the Winter Olympics, but again, it's what fascinates me most about sport is that it's across the world. Mm-hmm. It involves so many different people, and it's a great leveler for so many. But because sport is so computer competitive, it's like human nature comes out in a whole bad way. So figure skaters have terrible eating disorders.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
But it's become such a bad thing that now people are starting to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. They really probably feel under the same pressures as, I don't know, models would.
Spot on. So figure skaters, again, when you're watching this in the Winter Olympics, you go, wow, look at them go and pirouette. Now,
you are just changing my Olympics watching.
But there's so many layers to it. There's so many incredible layers to it. These figure skaters, they have like horrendous eating disorders. I mean, you could just literally survive on a cup of coffee for the day. Mm. Because when they get into those skin-tight onesies, they have to be skin. I mean, there's nothing to show here.
Yeah.
You can't come down off the ice and there'd be a bit of a wobble on the thigh. I mean, cannot happen.
I've just actually thought of... I'm surprised there aren't any more injuries in figure skating, because if you are not eating enough and your blood sugar levels are all over the place and you're busy, you know, pirouetting and spinning on ice, like one slight dizzy spell and it's tickets for you.
But that's exactly what it is.
You come crashing down on that ice, and I'm actually surprised there aren't any more injuries.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that they burn out so quickly. So it's all about going to the Olympics. So every 4 years, and you prime yourself for that. So one prominent US figure skater said that basically survival each day was on 3 slices of whole grain bread with a little bit of I can't believe it's not butter spread onto that. And then after that, it's just coffee. Because coffee kind of gives you a little bit of satiety, because you kind of feel like you're filling up a little bit. Plus, obviously, you're then wired.
The caffeine
comes in. Weird, huh? And that's just two elements of the Winter Olympics. Then
eating disorders and
sexual predatory
oppression. That's the recurring theme.
Sexual predatory in that kind of cold. Who's wanting to, like, I don't understand.
Well, we're not talking about creeps hanging out in the docks. I mean, we're talking about coaches and all that kind of stuff. That Larry Nassar guy who was sentenced to only 75 years in prison for being an interfering pedophile.
Yes.
Well, they're saying that, you know, he isn't just the only one. And they're using these games and the games in future to now showcase the fact that, are these kids being supervised? Because a lot of them are just kids.
Mm.
They're traveling to far off places around the world.
Mm.
So next time you see the Winter Olympics and there's a steely look of determination on someone's face
twice.
Before they start there.
It's more than just the cold temperatures bothering them.
Wow, but like that, what goes into an Olympic gold medal? It's staggering. We laughed about it being the Hunger Games, you know, the person with the hair, but it really is. It really is just so close.
It would seem that way if you are... I mean, certainly with the figure skaters, literally it is the Hunger Games, because these people aren't... at 3 slices of bread? Are you insane?
Yeah, and a perk is a banana if you're one of the beautiful army.
There you go.
Army of beauties.
There you go.
So I'm so excited to get home and watch the figure skating and there's so much. I mean, look, I could go on and on about the various things about the Winter Olympics right now. But also, it was mentioned recently, like, this is also one of the strange things about the Winter Olympics, is that you get a lot of millennials who basically, like the guy who won gold the other day, the snowboarder, he had a whole night binge on Netflix.
Yeah.
Woke up late, got into snowboarding and won gold.
Yeah.
The Summer Olympics is so serious. Like, it's so, so serious. Whereas you can get, like, guys that look like stoners just rocking up in snowboards and...
Just making it happen.
Like having a Red Bull and, like, you know, rubbing your eyes and off you go.
Do they run for the same amount of time as the Summer Olympics, these games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's generally like a 2-week kind of program, and then it's followed by the Paralympic version. So there'll be the Winter Paralympics in Pyeongchang as well.
So how many Olympics do we have?
So there's the winter and summer.
Yes.
And then there's essentially the able-bodied and then the Paralympics, although I don't know if you like to call it able-bodied. Right. So some were offended by that. So you get...
It gets tricky.
You get the Olympics and the Paralympics.
Yes.
Yes.
And go with that.
Okay, that's...
And then, so it's every 4 years. So essentially, every 2 years of our sport viewing life, we have an Olympics because it's the winter or summer.
Mm-mm. Okay.
And it's thrown around across the world. Then we get to know where a place like Pyeongchang is.
Jeez, then we get to learn brand new things every time.
And I learned that I just learned this yesterday, that the reason why, because I've been looking at the branding, and Pyeongchang spelled out has a small C and a small P, and this random capital C in the middle of the word. Mm. That's because, heaven forbid, you would confuse it with Pyongyang.
Ah.
Which is in North Korea. So exactly. The Olympics branding team was like, listen, we don't want that association. So let's just look over and dismiss any sort of grammar rule and put a capital C there. Random piece of info. Now you know it.
Like I said, you learn interesting things during this time.
Random.
Final piece of Winter Olympic information.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they brush the ice in curling?
I would think that it has to do with the contact between the, what's that ball thing called? Like it's
referred to as a stone.
Okay, the stone. Okay. It must be a surface thing. Like yeah. The stone sliding on the ice needs to be treated prior to that happening, I don't know.
The sweeping, the vigorous sweeping action warms up the ice and therefore reduces friction. Which makes the rock curl less and therefore move straighter.
Sure. Oh. It's very scientific.
Well, seeing as curling's on every day, all day, it's a good thing I told you that.
Thank you, Ben. Yeah. You have immensely changed our lives with these facts.
Wait a minute. Do we have any South Africans there this year?
Alpine skier.
Right. So just the one then.
Exactly. Okay. One. Yeah. Sure. All right. Well, from Winter Olympics to breastfeeding...
I mean, why not? Why the hell not?
Well, I mean, Kristen Bell, do we know her?
She's an actress.
She's the actress from...
Coming to You? That one.
Where she breaks a guy's heart and her name is Sarah something, isn't it?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yes. Ah. She's a cute blonde-haired...
She's the cute blonde-haired...
Tiny actress.
What else was she in?
She's a voice of Frozen...
So Ella, she's a reason. Elsie,
that's
Stella.
She's the voice of Frozen. She voiced the entire movie.
She just sings Let It Go. That's what I know. She starred in Veronica Mars,
does
Bad
she
Moms.
Sing, does she sing Let It
does
Go?
She, yeah, mm-hmm. Does she actually she sing?
Well,
sing
no. Technically, kinda, they wanted to pass it that way, but it's actually Idina Menzel who sings as well. It's confusing, but anyway.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah, but she's the actual voice
she's
behind
also
the character.
Married to that guy.
Dax Shepard.
Thank you.
How much?
Dax Shepard? He's like this...
Sounds like a well-built guy works in the field. Oh, he's the Dax Shepard.
He starred in When in Rome back in 2010. And most recently, last year, he starred in Chips, this cop movie. But as soon as you Google him, you recognize his face. Yeah. So they've been together for a while.
They kind of work together. It seems like they're both, you know, funny. They don't take themselves seriously as far as Hollywood standards go.
Yeah, and they have a very quirky relationship.
Yeah.
But that's kind of nice. When you get to a level of success, you don't have to take Hollywood so seriously. Mm. When you're up and coming, you've really got to do all kinds of things. It's messy.
But I think this is when you talk about another level of success, I think this is another level of loving your partner.
Okay, we're going to press play on this one. So, you know, I softened you up with some Winter Olympic trivia and stuff, but now we're going to go into something else. Bear with us.
Do you know what mastitis is?
Yeah, I live in fear of mastitis. I'm constantly giving myself checks.
I've had mastitis 3 times.
What?
It's the worst. If it gets to be an infection, it can spread to your bloodstream and you can actually, it's very dangerous. I had to get on antibiotics 2 times, which look, I'm pretty crunchy. I don't love antibiotics.
Sure.
But you know what I like more than antibiotics? Life.
Life.
The third time I had it, I was in Atlanta. We couldn't call a doctor. And this was right after the baby stopped nursing.
So what do you do? Oh, Kristen?
So I said to my husband, I said, I'm going to need you to suck this up. We could talk about it, we could be weird about it, or you could just go ahead and nurse, right?
Did he?
Yes.
And did it work?
Yeah, he pulled it out. He had
an incredible latch.
He had a cup next to him. Ugh. He was pulling out and spitting into this cup. And I've never been more in love. My life.
And he spits, he doesn't swallow.
Yeah, he spits, he doesn't swallow. That's what I figured out.
Mastitis.
Is everyone okay after that?
Ooh, guys.
You know, like, I almost hate the fact that I go, ugh, like, ugh, that's my default reaction. But this is what love really is, or this is what love maybe is.
Dude, that's a stretch.
No, so, how is, what? Okay, would you rather be sucking on a boob or, why? Actually, that's a good point you make. Why do we go, ugh?
Yeah, why do we go, ugh?
We put genitalia in our mouth every other day.
Strangers' genitalia sometimes do that, when we're young.
We do that willingly. We do that, willingly. Like, why are we going, ugh?
I think it's because we aren't saying the act of breastfeeding is ew. That's natural. That's the way life is, because that's a mother and her child. There's something about...
I get it, because you're not attracted to women, so therefore it's a bit icky.
It's not even that.
Isn't it? Okay, I thought that was your first go-to.
No, I just think, like, my body, I love you. But if you had somehow this disorder
and my life depended on you putting your mouth on mine.
Because basically what this
you wouldn't save my life. Is that, that's what I'm hearing. You would not save my life.
You're so horrible.
It's a clotting of milk in a breastfeeding woman. It's a clotting of milk. So
or
now
you can see it as a situation with your friend. But no, it's like, no, you milk clotter.
See, if this was a life and death situation, I mean, come on, you can have some therapy afterwards to get over the trauma.
You would not medically suckle on my belly's bosom.
Yeah. Oh, so putting the word medically in front of it makes it easier.
Well, it seems, seeing you're just such a hard taskmaster, I mean, we've got to get you in there somehow. You wouldn't do it,
Sia. Oh, so would you?
If it was just the two of us and she had no one else to do, sure, I'd be a friend.
Thank you, Ben. Sia,
we're talking, this could go bad.
I am re-evaluating our friendship.
Is there no way you can squeeze it out naturally?
She's not a cow, Sia. She's not a farm animal. What are you going to do after that? Just shoot her and take her meat?
Kind of breast pump work. I really don't know why. And it's not me being finicky and icky. Something just seems... One plus one equals four about it just seems wrong.
You know, Sia, people often say, if you were to go to a desert island, who would you pick? I think you are on no one's list.
Yeah.
No. You're on no one's list.
I've never wanted to be signed up on a list like that.
I bet you would even pee on someone's leg to alleviate a jellyfish bite.
Yeah, would you do that at least?
I would gladly pee on someone else's leg. Would I want someone else to pee on me? That's a bit too R. Kelly circa late 1990s, early 2000s child peeing scandal for me. No thanks. Can you find some vinegar?
Do you have terms and conditions like tattooed in your body somewhere? Because you are a constant asterisk, aren't you?
You guys can't say that this is normal. It's not the most normal thing. Like, people don't hang out.
No, but you know
pee
what?
On each other
no.
Suck on each other.
What this little information that Kristen Bell gives reveals is things that happen behind closed doors that people wouldn't necessarily be comfortable to volunteer as bits of information. I'm pretty sure there are all sorts of things that couples do for each other that they would never admit publicly because it's just too, you know, it's just a little bit too bizarre.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
It's
but I think something to take out of this is if you look across to your partner today, because, hey, it's Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Jeez, we're romantic. We mentioned it after all of 29 minutes.
Happy
if you
Valentine's.
Are looking across at your partner today and you cannot unclot their breast milk, I don't know.
I don't know if it's real love.
It's not real love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we need more people who are honest in this way about, like, the nitty-gritties of certain things. Like people say, oh, you know, giving birth, it's amazing. Mother Nature, I feel like I'm a giver of life. I was actually, since we are on this bit of a slippery slope of mentioning things that are absolutely not classy, please brace yourself. But I heard from a woman who had a C-section that it's not as glamorous as you think it is, because afterwards, because you've had
someone thinks this is glamorous to start with.
Well, you know, people call it the sunroof option, and oh, it's so cute and amazing. But you've had this incision in your middle pelvis
area. You would
be
the worst doctor in the world. You realize that.
And so the thing is, when you take your first couple of bowel movements as a woman afterwards, and you try to, oh Lord, we're really classing things up for the morning.
Go ahead.
As you try to, you know, exert a
put
force,
a press on, yeah.
You know, you try to push down, you feel the worst pain in the world as well, because you're pushing in this area where you've had this massive incision. They say, like, listen, like childbirth is one thing, but having bowel movements after C-section, yeah, that's also something else.
Thanks for this, yeah.
So, you'll never be the same after, you know,
Simba
blood clots.
Simba says, Sia, I'm really disappointed on my buddy's behalf.
Thank you, Simba.
Simba also goes on to say, don't worry, Mubs, I've got your back and your front.
Oh, yeah.
And Ben on Netflix's documentary called The Bomb. Do yourself a favor and watch the beginning intro with the military parade, and you'll see your army of beauties. Thanks, Liam. And Ubaba Katutuzani loves South Africa so much, he's resigning on Valentine's Day. Well, Q, I wouldn't hold your breath or do anything like that. Anyway, we need to get into the five things you need to know, and that is with Mabali Maloy, somebody who Sia doesn't actually love.
Yeah, I am devastated.
What's in the news, Mavs?
Okay, so Q did mention Ubaba Katutuzani, and yes, yesterday was all about Ubaba. Will he or won't he resign is the question that's on everyone's lips today. But let's take it back a step when the ANC yesterday, at least their Secretary General, Ace Magashule, you know, they gave that media briefing, and he began by saying that, hey, let's not get it twisted. The president is not being recalled because he has done anything wrong. He hasn't done anything wrong.
Of course not.
Adding that the decision to recall him was not because of Zuma's legal challenges, stating that we're a political organization and still a liberation movement. The president was informed of the decision yesterday morning, and Magashule says that he will respond on Wednesday, although he was not given a deadline to do so. But they are hopeful, as Q is, that the president will come back this morning and give his response. Whether or not he will actually resign, well, if you're a betting kind of person, you make that decision all by yourself. But the political analyst Mweletsi Mbeki is warning that the president could well defy the ANC and not resign. And this is something that even Justice told us that the president might do.
Or he could just Jacob the ANC. I don't even, the word defy is a bit too glamorous here.
He says that Zuma's desire to stay on for the next 3 to 6 months could lead to his continued stay, adding that might see the party joining in on the EFF's motion of no confidence in the president in an effort to oust him, with international investors watching closely. So Mweletsi Mbeki predicting that it could lead to a possible ANC, EFF working together, so to speak, which, you know, some people might find to be a little bit nerve-wracking. But hey, this is a game of politics, and it's all about your next move. Now, while all of this is happening, Transformation RSA say that they are going to be launching an urgent application in the Constitutional Court to challenge the ANC's decision to recall the president. Yep. The organization's president said the constitutional law states very clearly the processes and procedures that need to be adhered to with regards to recalling a president. There's no organization that can, on its own, willy-nilly, actual words that were used, decide as to what should be in the Constitution when it is not present. The application is to seek clarity directly from the court as to who has vested powers of removing Ubaba Katutuzani. It all gets very technical.
Someone put a camera on this. It's reality TV gone wrong. It really is.
Yeah. All right, so while we leave the politics for a second, South Africa yesterday declared a national disaster over the drought that has ravaged parts of the country, also threatening to leave the city of Cape Town without running water. By the way, the Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and I think the Northern Cape as well, I wasn't aware of this, but they've all been declared disasters, at least by the on a provincial level. So they've been declared provincial disasters.
Well, see, the thing is, the Northern Cape have long since given up on Jesus. There's no water there. Oh. There hasn't been for quite some time. The Eastern Cape, it doesn't get any press because people don't find it as glamorous as Cape Town.
Yes.
So the Eastern Cape, if you were wondering, they're just as drought-stricken. They also need your love, thoughts, and prayers.
This is true, Ben. In a notice published in the Government Gazette, the Department of Cooperative Governance said that it had elevated the drought to a national disaster after it reassessed its magnitude and severity. And, you know, some people are saying that, well, this could cause that whole day zero thing to be moved up yet again. You know, they keep, I mean, I think it's been at least twice or three times that day zero has been moved on the calendar.
Well, see, because people are actually saving water now, they're actually fighting each other for water in Woolworths rather than using the tap, it has been moved back. So it's a positive thing. So it was April, now it's May, and I think yesterday it was actually moved to June.
Mm.
But it doesn't change anything. You know, this is like disaster is being moved back, not day-to-day stuff. Like, that still needs to be saved and worried about.
And then lastly, in some Valentine's Day news, McDonald's are hopping on board of the publicity van. They have created an outrageous diamond and sapphire studded Big Mac ring. It's worth 149,000 rand.
149,000
rand.
Girl.
It is in a Valentine's Day stunt that encourages true Big Mac lovers to pledge their commitment by putting a ring on it. Seven layers of the fast food giant's iconic sandwich have been bedazzled as white diamonds, orange and green sapphires, and encrusted in an 18-karat gold bling Mac. So think of a Big Mac burger, mm-hmm. but it's all diamond. It's all jewelry. That's basically what McDonald's have done. And, the single most creative and hilarious treat will be deemed the winner. So you can partake in this, I don't know, publicity stunt and then, you know, tweet McDonald's. And essentially, the winner gets to walk away with this 149,000 rand diamond and sapphire Big Mac burger.
Oh, jeez.
That is outrageous.
That is outrageous.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
But it's like it's smart marketing. Bling Mac, Big Mac.
Play on. Yeah, that's what it's about.
Smart, I guess.
I say outrageous now, but I definitely expect someone to buy that for me.
No, Sia, you can't buy it. They've got to win it for you.
Ah, damn it.
Is that all we got for the five things?
Those are the five things, and I'll have more news stories after seven.
Okay, fantastic. In your cryptocurrencies. I've actually got a very funny clip to play you around cryptocurrencies.
Okay.
Should we do it now? Do it later?
Whatever you choose.
Look, it's quite long. It's like 3 minutes. Let's do it later.
Okay.
So your update's for this morning. Bitcoin, it's doing better. It's doing better. Every time I look at this graph, I equate it to a medical patient because it was flatlining and now it's like it's got some upward turns.
Oh, are we going up now?
Well, Bitcoin's $8,806 currently. Ethereum is 852. Bitcoin Cash, 1,248. Litecoin, 160. And... that's about all we need to know, really.
Oh, okay. Thanks,
Ben. The thing about the cryptocurrency is that we started it, and the big challenge now is maintaining enthusiasm. Don't know if you picked it up.
We need to get Run back in here when he's not traveling the world.
He'll be back in here on the 27th of Feb.
So 13 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that next week? Or the week afterwards?
Yes.
It'll be the week after, Sia.
Yes, it's next week. 13 days' time comes in 7 days, Sia. That's exactly right.
And ignore my maths.
And you were the one that was at school most recently. So today, let's get into some sports. And, predictably, I mean, look, I'm no prophet. But yesterday, I did say it was back to reality for the Proteas because they've got to face 20 overs of spin and they've got to somehow try bat for 50 overs. What did they do? Badly at both. Badly at both. 274 was what the Indians set in Port Elizabeth after Who cares about the toss? It's all done now. So 115 for Rohit Sharma. He finally got runs, and the rest of the team were so shocked that they barely scored any themselves. Lungi Ngidi was the pick of the bowlers at 4 for 51, and then it got into the run chase, and well, predictably, just bugger all. One from JP Duminy, six from AB de Villiers. David Miller, to his credit, he had a 36. Klaassen, the Gingo keeper, he did his best at 39. And at the top, Umler at 71, Markham at 32. So, I mean, like, they tried a bit. But again, 42 overs. That's all they got. 42 overs. They can't face these guys. They can't... I don't know why this still pisses me off. Oh. Why does it still? Anyway, the spinners took six wickets. And the Proteas had nothing, really. So, look, they were always going to lose the series, unfortunately. I know that Wanderers thing was just a nice way to get drunk on Saturday. But it wasn't really an important match, and it wasn't really a fair showing of what these two teams are up against. Just to go through how many overs that the Proteas have batted in this series, with Faf du Plessis, and let's be honest, if you ever want to doubt this guy again, this team is useless without him. That's the only time that they've faced 50 overs this entire series. When Faf was batting, he scored 100, and they posted 269. Okay, they lost that day, but that's not important. Next match, they faced 32 overs. 32. All they faced. 32. They then faced 40 after that. Saturday, the Wanderer doesn't count, and then last night, 42.2. It's like this basics this team can't even do. They just can't. I mean, the bowling was one thing. I'm sure there's some holes in it here and there. But also, like, that top order is so frail. JP Duminy comes in at 3. That is a massive red flag. It really is. It's just a huge red flag. The fact that Morne Morkel bats number 9, also, there's, like, no tail. One day cricket has evolved, and this Proteas team right now, they're just lambs to the slaughter. That's all they are. They walk out there. They're lacking in some key fundamentals. I don't know. It's like, well, if you played against India without Kohli, then that would also be different. And I get that. I get that. I really do. That missing guys like Faf du Plessis, missing Quinton Akok, although his form hasn't been great recently, it does put a huge lot of stress on this team. But there's got to be hope. There's got to be some sort of plan. There was a plan at the Wanderers. They had limited time. They had to thrash the bowling. There was the plan. They won. Who would have thought? There's actually a bit of talent in this team. Get back to the full 50 of a game, and they're just ponderous again, and it's depressing. So the next match will take place in Centurion, and that will be Friday. So if you still have some Protea fire in your veins, well, 1 o'clock local time, that game will start there. And then there's 3 T20s. So at least the T20s, we could face all our overs, and then happy days. I don't know. Might have a better sort of showing there. There have been some new names added to that T20 side. Junior Dalla comes in. Heinrich Klaassen will be making his T20 debut. And then Christian Jonker from the Warriors. He'll also be in there. But still no Faf du Plessis. So JP Duminy will captain. It is his best format if we are going to really pull hairs here. But yeah. Oh, there. I'll make a goat noise in the general direction of the Proteas right now because it's too frustrating. Champions League football last night. Well. That was pretty exciting. Juventus got off to a rollicking start against Spurs. Now, Spurs obviously have always been the Europa Cup team, and then they were always the fifth place team in the Premier League, but followed the lead of Harry Kane, they really have become a decent side to watch. So there's so much expectation to actually do something in Europe this year, especially seeing as they topped their group, the same group with Real Madrid in it. Well, they were 2-0 down in no time at all against Juventus last night. But to their credit, Harry Kane scored, and then Eriksen scored, so 2-2. Which, when you're playing away and you get 2-2, that's kind of like a win because those valuable away goals come second leg time. I mean, they really are just essential to get ahead here. Basel, well, we know they're pretty crap. They're currently like fourth in the Switzerland. What the hell is the Switzerland?
Well, you tell us, Ben.
Swiss League.
I've been there after I visited Namibia.
Switzerland sounds like a fondue. Yeah, maybe some Switzerland. So they beat Basel last night at 4-0. But what Man City do? They're just so good. They just score goals. You go out into the game with them and they just smack you a few times in the face. Before you know it, you're behind and you're never coming back. So that's what happened to Basel last night. 4-0 losers. Tonight, this is the big one. If you don't have any Valentine's Day plans, or if you do, make sure they end at 9:45. Real Madrid versus PSG at the Bernabeu. This is going to be one hell of a match because PSG, of course, the big money team, they really need to start showing some return here in the Champions League. And they've got defending champions Real Madrid, who have had a dreadful Protea-like season so far. So it'd be so interesting to see how this is going to work out. Will the experience heads from Real Madrid come through? Or will PSG be able to blitz them? 9:45 South African time. Same time, Porto versus Liverpool. Liverpool away here, and very good chance to progress, because Porto, they may be the best Portuguese team, but sorry, Portuguese people, it doesn't mean a whole bunch at this stage of the game. Best of the best, last 16 Champions League fixtures. How very exciting. Today in the Winter Olympics, what you got to look out for? Well, you're in for a treat. If you're mostly unemployed, you can stay at home today and watch all of these things right now. Alpine skiing, awesome. Then it's the biathlon, the women's 15 kilometers. Then you have an entire morning into afternoon of curling. The men's round robin sessions, the men are getting at it. That's all going to be from around 1 o'clock South African time. And right now, the women's round robin. So you've got the women's teams and the men's teams after this incredible success of the mixed curling teams. Figure skating, well, that was earlier on. But ice hockey, you got that to look forward to. The luge. The luge will be going on right now. And again, it's 1 o'clock. The luge is pretty fucking hardcore, I got to say.
It's quick. What are you saying? What's the luge? What?
Exactly. There's endless amount of events that you want to get into. The luge is that, it just Google luge.
Okay.
So much to get into. The Nordic Combined, that also take place today. The skeleton, now that is hardcore. That's basically, you go down the luge track, but it's just you and essentially a tray.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a sled with nothing around you. It's just, you just jump on this thing and away you go. I posted on my website yesterday. It's really exciting. Then ski jumping and snowboarding, and then some speed skating as well. The women's 1,000 meters. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how else I'm going to sell the Winter Olympics. If you're not watching 2 hours of this a day, well, you either don't like me or you don't have ears.
Whoa. Oh, those are the only options. Yeah. It's either we don't like you or we don't have ears. Yeah. Okay.
There we go. That's all the sport for you today. Okay. Tomorrow we'll be talking rugby, because Super Rugby's back. How super? Well, not really. If it was accurate, it'd be average rugby. The Six Nations will only take place the week after, though, so there's none of that. But there's also lots of football to look forward to, and it's the weekend, so we have all the other usual stuff. But now, looking at the running order, Ben's sport, Sed Basir.
Oh.
Yeah, so we've got Sed Basir next.
As per the running order, look at that.
As per the running order. Sorry, Sia, I had your song, I didn't have your song.
But now you have it again?
Now I have it again.
There we go. Hey. Oh, folks, we could not escape this. The 14th of Feb is here. So let us talk about it. Let's talk about love.
Okay.
Oh, this thing called love. It may not be a drug, but it certainly feels like one. For all of my sassy singles, I'm sorry about this. But at least you can maybe be inspired by the story. But being in love can actually be good for us in more ways than one. So take all of the free chocolate and the roses you might receive today for Valentine's Day. But here are four scientific reasons why being in love is actually good for us. Because being in love isn't all in our heads. There are actually chemicals that can cause good reactions throughout the body, which might explain why we feel tingly all over when we meet the perfect one, or the high we feel after we are engaging with a special someone. So here we go. Top four reasons why being in love is good for you. The first thing is you get happy. So being swept up in the initial stages of a loving relationship can actually make you feel euphoric. We all know that, and there's a good reason for it. Now, research has shown a link between strong feelings of love and increased levels of a neurotransmitter, dopamine, in the brain, which tells us rewards are ahead. The same chemicals gets released in response to other sources of pleasure too, which explains the high feeling new lovers often experience. The second reason, being in love actually fades some pain away within your body. Now, just seeing images of a loved one may help mask feelings of pain. Did you know that? Now, it actually makes sense why you want to be around the person you love when you're going through something rough. Now, a small recent study found that when people were touched with a hot probe, their pain decreased more.
Sorry, you said that so casually.
Oh, yeah, just like, these are what studies show.
Sure.
The study wasn't going well, so we brought out the hot probe.
That's it. that their pain decreased more when they were shown photos of loved ones than it did when they were simply distracted by being asked to do another task. Well, okay, you little love thing doing all amazing. And third thing is your heart may be more protected. Now, married people who took part in another large study were significantly less likely than singles to have heart attacks regardless of their age. How does this make you feel if you're single?
Yeah.
Love alone, of course, may not have been the protective variable at work here, but married people are also significantly less likely than singles to smoke and perhaps less likely to engage in other unhealthy habits as well. And then lastly, love makes your whole body tingle. Feelings of lust flood our bodies with hormones, adrenaline, which can make our hearts race quite often and our palms sweat as well and our heads spin. And a recent study lends some practical credence to this. They say that when more than 700 people were asked to color in the parts of a body where they felt activity when they saw images and words linked with love, most people colored the entire body, especially the chest, the stomach, and head. So look at that. Love, this little L-O-V-E thing is actually good for
us. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I know, because I'm in love and I feel pretty good most days.
Okay.
It's a happy thing. Yeah, it's a happy thing.
It is. It's a happy thing. So,
that is so sweet. And no one even paid you to say that.
At two minutes past 12 this morning, my phone was beeping. Like, I need sleep. I really do.
Yeah.
I cherish it. I don't get enough of it. It's like, it's so annoying. This is so incredibly annoying. But it was Daniela messaging me Happy Valentine's Day with pictures of cats and things and stuff. And I felt instantly very happy.
Oh, man.
And then I went back to bed. But well, obviously.
What did I declare?
No, but I mean, you felt happy.
Yes.
Well, so she sends me these messages. And then I respond and she's like, shouldn't you be sleeping?
Oh.
Well.
We didn't say love will solve all your problems. We just said scientifically makes you happier.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, let's get to some messages because there have been quite a few rolling in here. Wow. Long message. It's more like a story. Let's give it a go. Hi, team. I came across the most fascinating single cell organism yesterday. Are you trolling me by writing this? It's called Physarum polycephalum. Solid mold for short. Okay. It's semi...
We could have gone with that.
It's actually semi-intelligent cell, which has even been capable of solving the traveling salesman problems.
Are you a traveling salesman?
An experiment was done in Japan where grains of oats were given to the cell as food source. The Japanese were clever enough to place each grain in such that its modules... It models major city points in Japan. The slime mold would grow itself by finding each food source, and what they discovered was that the slime mold had mapped out the entire Japan railway network. But not only that, it would further adjust itself to find the shortest path to the food source. It took Japan years to design railway systems and only 21 hours for a slime mold to do the same. Lol. That's not the person's name. It was just a scientific lol. At the end.
Sounds like we're dealing with someone in the realms of microbiology here. So.
Yeah, you need to explain yourself because obviously this is an anonymous message that's coming on the WhatsApp line. You can WhatsApp us, of course, 079-748-2090. That is the most bizarre thing I've ever read on this message screen.
Yeah, mobile from
it's fascinating, but.
From one microbiologist to another.
I'm not a microbiologist.
You studied it, so no,
seriously, like, where did this message come from? 3 days of working with no sleep? I'm going to message you guys.
And
this.
I know the right people who will appreciate this message, talk about farts at 6 in the morning.
I'm going to message my single cell organism appreciation guys. This is from Anushka. So, Ben, did you send Daniela a dick pic this morning for Valentine's Day? I'd also like to send thoughts and prayers to Oscar. Well, Anushka, that's a very interesting message.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's an...
I did not.
Let's just separate the two.
I did not see the thoughts and prayers for Oscar coming. I haven't sent Daniela a dick pic. I don't send her dick pics for Valentine's Day. Oh. Every now and again, I might send her one spontaneously because that's more, you know, it comes more from the heart.
Yes.
It's a bit cliche to send a dick pic on Valentine's Day.
Dick pic. pick from the heart. I love it.
I tell you what I'm going to do. Seeing as she's not listening to the show today because she's in Cape Town, so she's not going to hear this. Mm. So she's away in Cape Town, but she only gets back tonight at like 8:30. Mm. So I'm just going to do absolutely nothing Valentine's Day whatsoever.
Okay.
Make just brush it up like any other day.
Is this going to upset her?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a risk I'm willing to take. And then what I'm going to do is tomorrow morning, when she wakes up,
yeah,
I'm going to do like Valentine's Day. So we have like Valentine's Day plus one.
Aww.
So then at least when she wakes up, she can have a Valentine's Day experience than like some half-assed, "All right, yeah, I hope you had a great day at belated Valentine's late day."
Ben, you know how to work this thing.
Well, I don't know.
Right.
Like, it could backfire terribly. What if she's had a shit day and then she has like this travel and then she comes home and it's like...
to nothing.
Okay, well, at least I'm going to come home and Ben will like treat me nice and it'll be like nothing. And she'll be like, "Oh, man."
And then she wakes up tomorrow morning in this new world and she's like, "Oh, I forgive you."
No, at least... Do you know how
decent
sad...
plan, though, huh?
It's not even... just decent. It's very sweet.
I like so it. After all the time that you've been together, I think Daniela kind of knows how you operate as well. So,
just to prove how sad my life is when it comes to Valentine's Day, I received nothing except from a chip brand who sent me a...
Oh, but that was so cool, though.
I don't think it's cool. I think it's so sad. So it's
can
this,
I have it?
It's this chip. You can't even eat it because it's all glued together. So it's actually poisonous.
That's fine. That box is awesome.
But basically, this chip brand...
They put their
chips together and made me a bouquet of not of flowers, but of their chips.
Oh. Okay.
But I can't even eat it because there's glue to it. So I'm like, well, at least they thought of me for Valentine's Day and no one else.
Well, just getting back to that medical conversation that we had, which basically exposed Sia for the superficial friend that he is.
This
is from Vince. A few years ago, me and my friends went surfing at Musenberg on the False Bay coast.
Oh, no.
Vince, just a word to the wise, Musenberg has a Z, not an S. What if my friends got stung by a jellyfish behind his neck?
The neck.
Behind his neck. And I had to piss on his neck.
Mm.
He didn't die, Sia.
Mm-hmm.
But we were sworn to secrecy not to tell anybody.
Until you
he lost
just...
his dignity.
Wait, it goes on. 3 whiskeys later, everyone in the pub knew about it.
Oh, wow. You see.
I know that's quite a story. Now I'd want to share it with people.
Ooh.
That's exactly what shouldn't happen.
Vince, that's
guess
amazing.
What I did today.
Vince, you're a friend, though. You're a true friend.
Next message. Ben, if I may, well, you already have, so it's not for me to say yes or no. Why haven't you proposed to Daniela? What are you waiting for?
Oh,
jeepers.
Pressure time.
Such pressure here. We're just talking about like playful dick pics and like chip roses, and suddenly I've got to drop a knee.
Yeah. That's how quickly things escalate.
They already do. So I guess we should wrap up the first hour. I was going to play a Valentine's song and then I got distracted.
What Valentine's song?
I don't know. See, I just thought, you know, because it's Valentine's Day, we're talking about Valentine's Day, that we'd play a song that maybe would have a Valentine's Day theme.
Well, anything with love.
So I found one.
Okay.
And here it is. So much suspense.
Beautiful girl.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming, did you? Maybe you did. All right, more news with Babali and the rest of us after this.
This is CliffCentral.com.